we remain as a people who have a calling. No matter what season we're in, no matter what pandemic we are experiencing, no matter what issue we are encountering, we are a people that have a calling. And it becomes my privilege, my role during our collective gatherings to preach a sermon from God's word that hopefully fuels us in our calling and challenges us to continue in our calling. I'm pleased to report that as a church, we're continuing to hear God's call and to follow God's call. We continue to participate in gatherings as best as we can, using gifts and skills and technology as best as we can, and we've done that. You have continued to excel in your generosity through giving. You've continued to mail your checks, or many of you have taken advantage of the online giving portal platform through Tithely. I thank you so much for the way that you have excelled in that. Even during this, for many people, it's been a challenging time financially. There have been layoffs, and just when we thought that, you know, we were turning the corner in terms of layoffs and furloughs, I'm getting words from some very close friends that they literally just 2 days ago just received word they were laid off. And so this is a challenge. The body of Christ has continued to excel in financial offering. So thank you for that. In a little while after the sermon, Brother Bill Johnson will lead us in some communion thoughts, and we will share in communion. But before I begin the message, let me begin by praying this. This is a communal prayer. This was a prayer that was shared in community, that the church would come together and pray this prayer together. And this prayer dates all the way back to the second century. So let's pray. I'll pray it. O sovereign and almighty Lord, bless all your people and all your flock. Give your peace, your hope, your help, your love unto your servants, the sheep of your fold, that we may be united in the bond of peace and love, one body and one spirit, in one hope of our calling, in your divine and boundless love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We are. That has been the refrain we have considered for the past several weeks. And it has been the theme of our current sermon series. We have explored for weeks our identity as the people of God in Jesus Christ, starting from Jesus' call to us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We have considered our identity as clay in the hands of a potter. We've considered us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the aroma of Christ. We are more than conquerors, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Last week, we shared a time of prayer where we considered that we are the children of God. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. The Bible is full of many other identities and identity markers, and we could spend weeks upon weeks in this exploration. And so I pray that this small sample has been encouraging and helpful to us that it's been informing for our church during our recent societal crisis. I pray that if you are a follower of Jesus, you will be informed regarding your identity, that you will fully embrace that identity, and that you will fully live out that identity in our world. So this morning, I want us to read from the letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn there with me, Romans chapter 12, starting at verse number 1, written by the Apostle Paul to a group of Jesus followers, Christ followers, Christians in the city of Rome. He writes, verse 1, chapter 12, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." Now, allow me the opportunity once again, and I do this from time to time. I just want to share what we have come to as the vision of our church as we partner with God's mission to transform the world. We believe that God is active in this world, and that he is eager to repair that which is broken, a broken planet and a broken human race. God sent his son Jesus as the perfect necessary his mission, and he has enlisted us to be emissaries, missionaries alongside Jesus Christ. And it is in the name of Jesus that we as a church partner with God by connecting people to God, connecting people to people, and connecting people to purpose. We see as our role in kingdom, we are don't get it right all the time. We but we rest to live in harmony with God's will and to remain really involved in God's purposes for this planet. And the way we intend to keep on keeping on is by living in harmony with God together and with one another together. We are intent on following Paul's ardent plea to present our bodies as living sacrifices. We are placing our lives and hearts on an altar wherein we our whole lives and trust him to do our lives where he pleases. And God has promised to do what is in our best interest. That's God's promise from the very beginning, to do what's in our best interest. And is the definition of love. In his own loving way, God will do with our lives that which benefits us and benefits others. This is part of God's mission for God's own way, which is artful and masterful. God takes us with our different makeup, our different backgrounds, our different gifts, our different talents. God takes all of that in an artful and masterful way and uses for miraculous works here on earth. Romans 12:4, as in one body, have the same function. There is no need to fret that within the body of Christ that we are different and have the same function. Church, that's good news. That's fantastic news. A couple of weeks ago, we had Central Ohio Work Camp where we go and we paint a house. And I am glad that everyone had different roles, functions, and different jobs. What if we told all the participants to spend the entire week painting the front porch? Now, the front porch may have been completed, but I can tell you that it would have been chaotic. There would have been people all each other's way. There would have been an abundance of frustration. But see, that wouldn't make much sense because the entire house needed to be painted. So we placed folks on the porch and on the sides of the houses and on the back of the house. Some painted on ladders while others painted areas closer to the ground. And we didn't have all the same function. This church, we all had the same purpose, to paint the house. And we got the house painted. We worked together, one unit, and we did the work that we didn't have the same function. God has grace and various gifts to the church. And by the grace of God, some here in Christ are in the that is boldly. The they are gifted in ministry. They just excel at something like Jesus. They are gifted in teaching, sharing, and explaining the message of God. There are some who are gifted in exhorting, persuading people to follow the message of God. There are some who are gifted in sharing generously others that which God has blessed them. There are some in here who are gifted in leadership, able to lead followers in God's mission. There are some here who are gifted in compassion, able to sit with others in their misery and others in their pain and offer peace and comfort. And this list of gifts represents a list in Romans. There are several other gifts scattered throughout Scripture. The text here is that in the body, God has prepared his people with roles and gifts to enact, execute his mission on earth. And with this list of roles and gifts, functions, consider two important ideals that Paul wants the church in Rome to be highly cognizant of. Number one, he writes this in chapter 12, verse number 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Your gift is not better than my gift. My gift is not better than your gift. My role is not more significant than your role. If your participation in God's mission is an attempt to achieve position or prestige, I say your attempt will be futile in God's eyes. It may score you some human recognition or accolades. You may receive some praise and awards from people. Mission to be formed as part of greater work in concert, in community with other people. The second idea that Paul makes a point of communicating in this text is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Presents the identity mark to consider today. verse number 5, chapter 12, Romans. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one another. We are members one this we cannot dismiss, disregard, or discount. We belong to each other. We belong to one another. We are part of one another. We are intimately linked by the blood of Jesus. His blood flows through us all in his lifeline. Fuels our togetherness. Every week when we eat the bread and drink the cup in communion, we are declaring that we are a solidarity with God and with one another. Greatest commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. The second one is just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. It is when we understand this connection that we can work together to connect people to God, people to people, and to connect people to purpose. In March 1985, dating myself here, I was a 11-year-old boy who loved music and loved a variety of different artists. And so in 1985, a song was released that in my lifetime served as one of the most important songs ever produced. In the early 1980s, there was a famine in Africa that impacted millions of residents on the African continent, particularly in Ethiopia. Harry Belafonte, the famed singer, you know, me say that, that dude. Harry Belafonte, the famed singer, activist, suggested that missions should come together to raise money to send aid to. They created an organization called UN for Africa. And out of this idea, a song called We Are the World. How many of y'all remember We Are the World? Now, I know some of y'all younger folks. But the song is the eighth time. It broke all types of records at the time. What was so fascinating about the song, the most popular artists of time. They all came together for this effort. Musicians like Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie and Stevie Wonder and Bob and Bruce Springsteen and Rodgers and Warwick and Ray Charles and Quincy Jones and Huey Lewis and Glenn and Willie Nelson and Dan Aykroyd. I have no idea why Dan Aykroyd was. But it was part of it as well. Singers came together to do songs. Some sing more lines than others, but no one complained. Some singers didn't have any solos, but there were no protests for a common goal, a common good in Africa. Moment. With one another for the best hits, working with one another, profound impact on the world. And they raised $63 million. Some made that's about $147 million in today's value. Money was given to Africa for relief, as well as money it wasn't about Michael Jackson or Bruce Springsteen. Was USA for Africa. Church, why is it that in the secular world, what God dreamed for the church? Why is it that it seems outsourced, that God imagined for the great work that Christians have done? We'll one of those. But I bring this up because it's so us to forget that in the church is to work passionately from our connection to God and other, because we are many. We are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members one of another. I have often remarked that Acts chapter 11 is an incredible passage and an incredible commentary about the body of Christ. Prior to Acts 11, 26, we learned that this church in Antioch was a church that was made up of a lot of different men and women. The church was made up of people from various different regions in the ancient world. From what we can tell, this was the first racially integrated church. And it was at this racially integrated church, it's Acts chapter 11, verse 26. So it was that for an entire year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Here, the term Christian was first used. It was probably a term used by to describe the nature of a group of together. The only explanation that they must be little, that's what Christians mean, little. But following that revelation, there's another interesting tidbit of info. Books on theology and Pauline writings. He says that he believes that this text is so applicable to us today, season of pandemic. This is Acts chapter 11, verse number 27. It says, at that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine all over the world, and this took place in the reign of Claudius. Each would send relief to believers living in Judea. This they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Prophet Agabus predicted a global pandemic. This was going to impact the world as they knew it. I want for us to note how the church reacted and convened a logical query where they debated whether or not this was judgment on the earth. Oh, no. Jesus coming back? They didn't have a meeting to discuss how bad Claudius, the emperor, to a meeting to discuss how bad he handled this famine. Other take serious. Do you know what the church did? Did you see what the church did here in Antioch? Like they said, are members of one another. This is a issue. We need to determine help, and we need to help. And church, that's what they did. Sent that aid. That's really all the world communities connecting to. Additionally, we want to experience people connecting to other people, relationships. To see people connect, we'll see others connect to people and connect to purpose. Connect to God, connect to people, connect to purpose. And we do this by remaining steadfast in our commitment to be a part of Christ's body. And when we encounter seasons like a pandemic, instead of concern, by need, as a body, we meet needs. The beginning line of We Are the World, that great song goes, there comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together. There are people dying It's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. Can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere soon will make a change. We're part of God's great big family. The truth, you know, all we need, we the world, are the children. That was my song, church, back in 85. I was so crazy about this song that as a young boy, I would watch this song video and mimic all the singers, and then I would perform this song for my family in the voice and characterizations of all the different singers. But maybe as a child, I recognized the power of the words that were being said. And here in 2020, there comes a time when we need a certain call, and come together as, and it's time that the gift that someone else or somewhere else will make a change. God's big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need. We are the church. We are God's children. We are members of one another. As a body, we are carriers, not carriers of some disease or some unnecessary message or insignificant life. We, as members of one another, carry the hope of Jesus to the world. We are carriers. As carriers, we carry the hope of Jesus. As the praise team takes their place, we're going to sing an invitation song in just a second. Several years ago, you've heard me tell the story about spending some time in Amish country at a retreat, and I stayed on this at this bed and breakfast, and on their property there, they had these huge workhorses. And so a lot of the Amish still continue, instead of using like powered vehicles, they use these huge workhorses that pull plows. And I don't know if they're this particular, but have you ever heard of, are they called draft horses? Something like that? Is that what they're called, draft horses? A draft horse, they're huge, right? And they can weigh up to about 2,000 pounds. And do you know how much a draft horse can pull just by himself? Anyone know? Up to about 8,000 pounds. So four times its weight it can carry and pull. That's a draft horse. They're workhorses, right? All right. Now, let's say you put two of these horses together, right? And you need them to pull something. How much weight do you think two horses could pull? 8,000. Pull 16, right? 24,000 pounds. And if the two horses are raised together and trained together, two horses, 4,000 pounds, can pull 32,000 pounds. Church, what could we do if we really believe that we are members one of another? There's a lot that individually, many of you, I'm looking at some of the most gifted, talented people I have ever known in my entire life. And individually, you all do fantastic and great life-changing things. But what if we all did it? Oh, man. We could turn this. We could connect people to God and connect people to other people and connect people to their purpose and keep it going for generations and generations to come. If we do it together. Now, I don't want strapped horses. Song of encouragement, invitation. If there's a way that the church can be helpful to you, encouraging you, helping you in your walk with Jesus, your walk with Jesus. I saw last week, a member from, I guess, 15 years ago, who just asked a simple question. Do you have a Bible I can buy off of you? Or I said, buy off me, man. I have so many Bibles I will give you too. And I took this Bible and took it to his house, and we sat in the living room, and he just talked about, man, I just feel like I'm in a place where I really want to explore, life with God, life with Jesus. And so I said, sure, man. And however I can help in that, just let me know. If it's just giving you a Bible, that's fine. If it's, hey, I got some questions about some of the stuff I read, let's do that. If it's, you know what, man, I'm ready to take a leap into the arms of God like I've never done before, let's talk about what that means. If there's anything that we can do for you as a church through prayer, through walking alongside you, please let us know. That we're going to sing this song. And if you want to come forward, you can, and one of the elders will take your requests.